Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight is the first of the three holy days that lead up to Easter and the feast of our Lord's resurrection. On these days, we will meditate on what Jesus did for us in order to save us, the road that he took to the cross and to the tomb, how he laid down his life as a ransom for the many, how he went to his death as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, how he took our sin and our death, and he buried them in his grave so deeply there that we would no longer be slaves to sin and no longer held captive to death. Tonight begins in an upper room in Jerusalem, and Jesus is with his disciples. We have two versions of this night, one from the synoptic evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the other from John. Both versions have their particular gift, and we will consider both of them. The synoptic writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, along with Paul, tell us of the Lord's Supper in the context of the Passover meal, that meal of freedom for Israel, how our Lord, on the night of his betrayal, took the bread and the cup of the Passover, and he made something new and something more. His own sacrificial body and his blood, which he would give on the next day for the life of the world. John fills in the negative space around the supper, focusing instead on what Jesus said and what he did around the meal. And so there are not one but two gifts on this holy night. The first by way of Jesus' example, and the second by way of Jesus' sacrifice. He gives us both a way of life, and he gives us his life. John tells us that while they were at table, in the middle of the supper, Jesus got up from his place, and he took off his outer robe, and he tied a towel around his waist, and he took a basin of water. And he knelt down on the ground, and one by one he washed the feet of his disciples. Foot washing was an act of hospitality, a generosity extended to your guests. And it was a necessary one, too, since you sat on the floor, you were all huddled together, and your neighbor's feet were terribly close to your head, not to mention your meal. Foot washing was a task reserved for the lowest rung of a slave, a Gentile slave. And it was a strict rule that a disciple was never to wash the feet of a rabbi. Might wash his car, but could never wash his feet. That was too low. And here the rabbi, the teacher, washes the feet of his disciples. Peter is understandably outraged, as only Peter can be. First, he protests, "Seriously, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? There's no way." And then, not understanding what's going on, Peter goes over the top and in the wrong direction. "Well then, not only my feet, also my hands and my head." It's so typically Peter. But Jesus is not giving out baths here. He's washing feet. There is no task so low that Jesus will not stoop to do it. And that's the point. He comes not to be served, but to serve, to lay down his life. He comes as the servant of all. He comes as the suffering servant, the one who stoops as low as our death and the grave in order to save us. And they, as his apostles, his servants, his disciples are to do the same thing. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Now, Jesus did not institute another ritual, a ceremonial foot washing, as is practiced by some on this night. He gave a pattern. He gave a profound example to his disciples that they would reflect his servanthood in their service, that they would love each other in the very same way that Jesus had loved them. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And that love expresses itself in the little and the lowly things. It's bending down to wash the feet of another, bending down as the Samaritan did to minister to that broken, bleeding, dying man in the ditch, the one who fell among the thieves. Service always means bending down, getting down off your high horse, setting aside your pride, laying aside your ego, your dignity. It's not the way of the disciple to say, that's beneath my dignity to do, or that's below my pay grade, let someone else take care of it. Nor is it the way of a disciple of Jesus to say, I've done my turn and now it's your turn to do. To be a disciple is to be a servant. His service comes first, divine service. First, he washes his disciples' feet, and then they get to do the same, to wash one another's feet. But notice, they don't wash his. The old law read, love your neighbor as yourself. It presumes you love yourself. The new commandment says, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus' love comes first, then our love. First he bends down to serve, and then we, having been served, bend down to serve one another. Submerged under all this talk of foot washing is also a nod to baptism. Did you catch it? If I do not wash you, you have no share in me, says Jesus to his stubbornly objecting disciple. Like most things in John, everything means at least two things and sometimes three. Not a foot washing here, but a washing of regeneration and renewal, a washing of water and spirit with the word. In baptism, Jesus again stoops down with the water. The Holy One reaches down to wash the filthy sinner with water and word. And unless we are washed by Jesus, we have no share in his life, in his death. Only Jesus can cleanse us from sin. Only Jesus can make the sinner clean by water and the word. Now, if you turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or 1 Corinthians, you get an entirely different perspective on this night. Not foot washing, not a sermon, not a prayer, but a Passover. It is Passover night for Jesus and his disciples. Curiously, Jesus is with his 12 and not with his family. You celebrated the Passover with your family normally, but Mary and the brothers and sisters are nowhere to be found. This is no ordinary Passover being celebrated in the borrowed upper room in Jerusalem. This is the Lord's Passover, and he is with his Israel, and he is about to undergo his exodus from death to life by way of the cross. In the first Passover, the blood of the Lamb was painted on the doorpost, and Israel walked through that blood into freedom, always remembering the price of freedom. It comes with the blood of the sacrifice. Where the blood, there death passed over. In this Passover, Jesus takes the cup after supper, the third cup, the cup of blessing, the barichah, and he declares This is the new covenant in my blood. The covenant spoken of by the prophet Jeremiah, in which God would forgive iniquity and remember sins no more. He gives his sacred blood here for wine to gladden the hearts of sinners with forgiveness. He seals the new covenant with his own blood, his life given in place of the world. By his blood, we have our freedom. And where the blood is, there death passes over, because this is the blood that conquers death. Where his blood is, there is life, there is forgiveness, and there is salvation. And so also with the bread. The bread of the old Passover was the bread of affliction. It was the bread of slavery, unleavened, hard. Jesus does something entirely new with this bread. He takes it and declares, "This is my body." This bread of the Passover is the body of the Lamb of the new Passover. His body, which he would give into death for the life of the world on the cross, roasted in the wrath of God under the law against sinners, roasted in the fiery passion of God to save sinners. In the old Passover, the lamb was eaten, roasted to the point of being burnt to the crisp. But in this new Passover, Jesus gives his body as bread, the bread of life, true and living bread, come down from heaven as manna to feed those who are hungry for righteousness. With his body and his blood come everything that Jesus has done and does to save us. To eat of his body and drink of his blood is to receive all that his saving death has won for the world. It is our wilderness food. As we make our way through this life, through death to eternal life, it's what sustains us and keeps faith alive. Sin and death cannot harm us, nor can the law accuse us, for the body and the blood testify on our behalf. We have been died for. Our sins have been atoned. We are justified for Jesus' sake. Do you hunger and thirst for a righteousness you cannot do? For a righteousness that avails before God? Then come to the supper and be blessed and be filled. Are you weary from the struggle against sin? Are you wary of your death? Are you afraid of God's judgment? Then come to the supper and find refreshment for your souls. Do you seek eternal life? Then come receive the medicine of immortality, the body and the blood that have gone through death to life to save you. Jesus' body and blood do not leave us in isolation, but they bring us into fellowship with one another and with the whole church. Communion with Christ is also fellowship with one another, because the same body and blood that goes into you go also into me. We are bodied and bloodied together, or as St. Paul says it, we are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. One bread, one cup, one body, one blood, one church. The church is the body of Christ because the church eats the body of Christ. You are what you eat, especially with this food. And here our divisions are healed. The walls that we put up come tumbling down like Jericho's walls. Here all the barriers that we set up against each other, our prejudices, our pride, our egos, all of our divisions are knocked down. There is but one bread, there is but one cup. The Lord's Supper is personal, but it is never, ever private. It can never be reduced to me and Jesus having a private moment. It is always corporate, together, side by side, as the body of Christ. A holy communion for God's holy communion. Christianity has infinite room for individuality, Because each of us is made by God and is unique and uniquely gifted by God. But there is no room for individualism, that idolatry of the self, the heart curved inward. The church is a body of members, not simply a bunch of members or a loose collection of members or an isolated member. In the supper, we are brought together not only with each other, but with the whole church throughout all time. There is only one supper, for there is only one Lord. And that Lord spoke on the night in which he was betrayed and gave his body as bread and his blood as wine. And that same gift is given on every altar, in every place where the Lord's words are heard. And yet it is only one supper. One body. From this supper of his body and blood, faith toward Christ and love for one another flow. Jesus loved us to death. He gave his body and his blood on the tree of the cross, making it a tree of life from which we may eat and live forever. He loves you. He washed you in the water of holy baptism. He gives you the bread of his body and the wine of his blood, all of it as gift to you, undeserved, unearned, unmerited, gratis by grace, free for the receiving. And in that love of Christ, his love for you, you are given to love one another. Because in one another we see the same body and blood, the same baptism, the same forgiveness, the same word at work. And we reflect to each other the love that we have received. You see, the world cannot see Jesus' love. They can hear of it. They can taste it and see that the Lord is good. But they cannot see the love of Jesus. They can't see Jesus. But they can see you. And they can see your love for one another as the body of Christ. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Jesus gives us his life, and he gives us his pattern for life. In love, it is the Lord's Passover. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.